Page number seven.
It's good to be here this morning, and it's a little bit stormy outside, but it's good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, everything has just exploded. The dogwoods are just nearly ready to just really pop out around the house, and Cindy's little cherry tree that we were afraid got bit has got big old blooms on it now, and so I love this time of the year. It does make me talk a little hoarse, but is that a word, David? Have to check that with my encyclopedia dictionary over here, but it is what it is, and I'm glad to be here. We did have a good group here yesterday. Had something happen I've never had before. Well, not that. I've been caught before with a donut. I was handed this note. It said, "To whom it may concern, David," and by the way, this is David Crook, "needs a supervisor position and lots of water breaks." And it's signed, Mama. And so, everybody give him a hug before you leave. Now, I'm not going to ask how old you are, but I've never had a note from Mama for someone your age before. We had a good time. You missed it if you weren't here. So, he's a good sport. So, gotta love our mamas. All right, a couple other things. Gene, we got a special birthday we need to sing for. Today is the twins' 10th birthday. Can you sing to them?
Sure.
And then I'll do the rest of the announcements. Yeah, let's do it. Let's get them up front. Come on up here, girls. What? Come on. Those are the kind of pictures we need to put up here, not the pastor with the donut.
Amen.
All right, we have an invite here from Rayburn Creek Missionary Baptist Church. It said, "Dear Sister Church, it is with great joy and rejoicing that Rayburn Creek announces the ordination service of Brother Tyler Bray, April 14th, 2019, obviously. Brother Tyler has been called to Social Hill Missionary Baptist Church at Royal, Arkansas. We would be honored to have you join us for this very special service. Rayburn Creek also invites your ordained pastors and deacons to help in the formation of Presbytery. Rayburn Creek will be having a fellowship before this service and would enjoy having you celebrate this day with us." And it's signed Brother Todd Bray, their pastor. So if you can make that next Sunday, if we can make that happen, it'd be good to go and take part in that. It's always good to be a part of a young man that has given his life to the calling of God and encourage him on his way. So we appreciate Brother Bray. All right. Other announcements. This morning is our building fund offering, so the second time the pledge passes for the building fund. And it's been pretty busy. We've done quite a bit in the last year. I know this is early on in this year, but in the last year we've done a lot. If you didn't see, the awnings are up. They look wonderful. Now you can actually walk from this building to that building without getting drowned. Also, we'll be able to shortly be able to drive under there and unload in the rain. You might could now, but you might get stuck. I don't know. We're getting some gravel there and getting that fixed. So, thanks to Brother Sam for making that all happen. Appreciate everything that he does as well as everyone else. I'd like to say also thank you for the ladies that directed our cleaning yesterday, because I don't have any part of a green thumb, and so the best thing I can do is eat a donut, because I'm liable to pull up the wrong plant. And good hole digger, thank you. I love you, Bob. Yeah.
We got to show that picture if we're going to do that.
Let's don't show the picture anymore. I'm going to pay her to get rid of that picture. All right, then, immediately following our morning services, we're going to have a, I don't know how short, but a meeting, Vacation Bible School. Miss Cindy Crook is going to tell us some things, okay? Then tonight is a business meeting, so I encourage everyone to come back and take part in the Lord's business. Next Saturday, April the 13th, will be the Garland County Singing Convention here at Oak Hill. Welcome at 9, singing 9:30 to 1, meal at 1 o'clock. Brother Travis, if you have a song or want to sing or anything like that, get with Brother Travis and come if you can. All right, the breakfast sign-up sheet is back there on the back. That'll be for immediately following our sunrise service over at the Johnsons. Easter sunrise service will be at Sam and Donna Johnson's home, breakfast to follow. So if you're going to do all that, and I encourage you to, please do sign up on the sheet so we'll know how many eggs and how much bacon. And somebody said Leonard was making gravy.
Yeah, I am.
And so I can't get my wife to make it at home anymore. I don't know if she remembers how or not. So come to that and enjoy a fellowship. June the 10th through the 14th, Vacation Bible School. Also, Cindy, you still need volunteers? Okay, so there's a sign-up sheet back there on the back table for that. If you want to come and help, you'll get a blessing from it. Nursery attendance this morning, Cindy Alt, Jerry Harrison. Next Sunday, Sam and Donna Johnson. Anything else? Did I miss anything?
Page number 130.
I've heard them singing, thank the Christ and Jesus for it all. I've heard them sing, I'm coming home and hear the Master's call. I've heard them sing the modern songs and songs of long ago. The amazing grace, how sweet the sound is, sweetest song I know. The amazing grace, how sweet the sound, oh how sweet is the sound.
Words and melodies.
Grace, how sweet the sound, this sweetest song I know. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, oh, how sweet is the sound. Sweetest song, in this body could be found. I've heard it from the sands, and the queen is white as snow. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, this sweetest song I know.
Y'all, good morning. Good to see everybody out this morning. The weather's really nasty outside. I don't know about y'all. I can't sleep through these thunder boomers anymore. Used to, I could when I was a younger fella. I never knew it was storming outside. I slept right through it. But now it always wakes me up. So I don't see any sleepy-eyed people out there this morning. But it's a great day to be here. We have a wonderful sanctuary. It's cool in the summertime. It's warm in the wintertime. And we have got a congregation here at Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church like no other church you'll find in the country.
Amen.
We have got some sweet people that really have sweet spirits. And I've been here, Joyce and I have been here, for about 3 years now? Somewhere thereabouts. And we just love it. We look forward every time the doors open to being here. We didn't get to be here yesterday. For the church cleanup, I had already been booked to play somewhere about 3 months ago. So Joyce and I didn't get to be here, and we kind of grieved at that because it's always a sight when Eddie Joe shows up.
Did you give your note to Sam? Your excuse note?
I had a doctor's note, yeah. But anyway, the choir's been working on a song for you, and we're going to do it for you this morning. It's entitled, Sunset is Coming, but the Sunrise We'll See.
It runs for Jesus in a low land of sin, hoping that we at last a life proudly win, serving the Master through the morning army. Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Heavenly beauty makes the shadows to flee.
Glory is waiting, but the Spirit is free.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see. Strangers, but happy in His vineyard today, trying to help our Lord and Savior away. Serving the Master through the noontime are we. Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Thought you were trying out for a new position. I'm a fine one to be saying anything, aren't I? It's good to be here this morning, and you know, We had a good time yesterday, and we have a good time here at Oak Hill. And really, we're supposed to, because we are supposed to be the happiest people in the world. May God help us to get the world out of the way and let us enjoy this life and share the gospel. Thankful to be a part of this church. Time sure does fly. I didn't realize that y'all had been here 3 years. Cindy and I are nearly working on 8, I think, here for too many months. Seems like just yesterday. That's what happens whenever you're where God wants you to be. Easter rolls around again. I love Easter. I love the beautiful foliage. I'm not any good at planting them or pulling up weeds around them, but I love looking at them. And it's just, God is so amazing in everything that he does. And all you have to do is just sit back and absorb nature just a little bit. And no one can deny God if they will just do that. He's amazing. Easter, as I said, just around the corner. And I look forward to the time of Easter whenever we celebrate the risen Savior. I try to do that every day. I mean, think about that, friend. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, you should celebrate our risen Savior every day because of what he done. We have hope. We're not getting through this old life alive, but we got eternity in the presence of God. Last week was kind of a hard week for me. I do have trying times at times, but it never fails. I say this, and sometimes I have to tell myself, but no matter how bad a time you're having, look around, and someone's having a lot worse time than you are. But even more than that, I always get to thinking about Jesus and what he did for me. Easter's just a couple more Sundays away, and we're going to be talking about leading up to that next week, the death and the burial of Jesus, and then obviously the next week we'll be talking about a risen Savior. But I got to thinking about what all Jesus went through before he allowed himself to be hung on the cross. And if you find yourself in trying times, think about Jesus there, wrongly accused, with that crown of thorns shoved down on his head, being beaten mercifully, mercifulness, or terribly. Hey, I could see the word in my brain and it didn't make it to my mouth. Yeah, sorry about that. That's what you get. I've got it a lot better than he was having it, and he didn't have to come. It's amazing what Jesus has done for us. Now, we know from thinking and studying and reading about Jesus that he was born of a mortal woman, a lady just like us, the Virgin Mary. But we also know that his father was God Almighty, and he was all God and all man at the same time. You know, I was thinking about Jesus in his childhood days leading up to where he was at. He grew up in a loving home. Joseph and Mary loved Jesus. I don't know exactly everything that went on. We don't have a lot of records about his childhood time, but I can imagine in my mind's eye that growing up in a carpenter's home back then, he led a modest lifestyle, loving family life. I feel like that Jesus grew up like other Jewish children of his time, and they all worked to make the world go around. We live in a time, I think, today where we don't want to have our kids do anything because it might do something to them. I'm not really sure. What I think is if they have no responsibilities growing up, it's going to do something to them, but it's not going to be good because they're not going to be taught responsibility. Whole nother subject. Don't want to get off on that rabbit trail. But Jesus grew up just like normal kids to some degree. Think about this. Now, I don't know about y'all. I know y'all are all better than me, but my dad, always would tell me that he needed to adjust my hearing, and the switch is what he used for an adjustment because there was a direct line between my hearing and my backside. Jesus never had to do that. You mean, preacher, they never had to spank Jesus? I don't think so, because he never did anything wrong. He was the perfect child as well as the perfect man. He honored his mom and his dad here on this earth. And there wasn't a lot of TV to sit around and watch and video games and stuff like that. So everybody had chores. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we all worked together. I mean, we fed the animals, we tilled the garden, we did whatever it took because we were all part of the family. And I see Jesus as just like that. They all worked to make ends meet. The difference was is that Jesus never sinned in anything that he did. The Bible tells us to honor our father and our mother, and I believe that he did that. I remember and was thinking back to, in his childhood, one account that we have is when he was the age of 12 in Luke chapter 2. It tells the story. You can go and read it sometime if you want to. But his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover, which was common to them. Well, they had taken in all the festivities and done all the things there, and they were headed home. And they got about a day's journey out from Jerusalem there, and they noticed Jesus was missing. Now, some people I've heard say, well, isn't that uncommon that they would allow their child to go missing? It wasn't like it is today. You didn't have to keep them on a leash. They were a big family unit. They probably knew in their minds that he was with some of the other kids being kids. But when it came time for them to have their family time, they knew he was gone. And so being the good parents that they are, I'm sure they went into a panic and headed back along the trail looking for Jesus. Where did they find him? They found him teaching in the temple. 3 days they looked for him after they went back, and they found him sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And they all heard him that were astonished and understanding his answers. Jesus Christ was a special person. Well, preacher, that goes without being said. He was God, yes, but sometimes I think that we fail to realize exactly what all Jesus went through here in this life. He experienced everything we do, the good times and the bad, the happy and the sad. Jesus Christ was all man, just like you and I. So if you're having a little bit of a bad time, maybe something's going on in your life that's challenging, I dare you just to sit down and think about Jesus. We'll talk a little bit more about that. He had a purpose in this life. There was a purpose that he came, and I want you to know something this morning, friend. You're the purpose. It's you, Gene Hendricks. Okay. It's you, Travis Watson. It's you, Miss Jerry. The purpose Jesus had was all of us, each and every one. And he knew his purpose. He told them there at the end of that scripture, he said, "Do you not know I should be about my master or my father's business?" He knew who he was. He was on a mission. And he followed the will and the direction of his Father, God Almighty, in every way. Never once going against the will of God. Not even once. Did Jesus break the law of Moses? Now, I don't know, but I can imagine Jesus being a different child, one of the sweet spirit, the loving child, the obedient child, and knowing how children are, he probably got poked fun at a little bit along the way because other children can be kind of mean sometimes when someone's different. But he endured. He persevered. He was on a mission. He lived the law of Moses to the letter. Can you imagine what he would have went through in the day and the time that we live in, no manners, no honor, no respect. Children of our time, not all of them, but a lot of them are growing up not being taught what they should and shouldn't do. Give your parents honor. Honor your parents, children. And that's all of us. Okay? Jesus did that. But Jesus wasn't like other kids. He didn't disrespect people. He didn't talk down to people. He just wasn't like that. He loved us. Even from birth, I believe that Jesus Christ knew. Well, let me back up. Let me tell you this. Before the foundation of the world, before God created this universe, man, Jesus knew that he was going to have to come. He always knew that. He still knows that. And he still willingly came because of that love. He came down to this earth knowing what he would have to do for us. I want you to think about that for just a little bit leading up to the death, burial, and resurrection. Wrongfully accused, wrongfully tried, convicted per se of offenses that he wasn't guilty of. This righteous, pure, loving Jesus was put through hell on earth for you and I. He became sin for us. He paid the price that we couldn't pay. I think about Jesus right up to the time of his crucifixion. Everything that he did, even you know, the beatings, he took that willingly. He didn't have to. Carrying his cross down the streets, I picture him just beaten and battered and torn and the blood trail going down the streets up to Golgotha's hill. Had to have some help because his physical human body was beyond its capabilities. He did all that willingly. We did all that to him. The world of this day that we live in would have hated him. Oh, wait a minute. They do hate Jesus just like they did back then. They hated Jesus. They hated what he stood for. They hated how he acted. They rejected our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, but many in our world today reject Jesus Christ as well. Let me just say that without Jesus Christ, we have no hope. We live in a time where there are what I call feel-good preachers out there preaching this prosperity gospel. Anybody ever heard of that? When you come to know Jesus, everything's going to be good. Let me make you rich. Well, let me make you rich and tell you this. The only richness that we can take on to be with us in eternity is our salvation experience with Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you have that, you're richer than any man on this earth other than someone just like you. We're never promised that this life's going to be easy, but we're promised a better day tomorrow when Jesus comes back. The world hated Jesus just as much back then as it does today. Now, a thought for you, and then I'm going to read some scripture out of the book of John. A thought for you. If Jesus hadn't come till now, the result would have been the same. Now, if we're not careful, we want to look back at those Jews and say they killed Jesus. In all reality, he gave his life for all of mankind. Let me tell you, if Jesus was alive and walking on the earth today in the United States of America, the results would have been the same because he had to shed the innocent blood for the remission of sins. That's for you and I. He's always had a purpose. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 23. Now, if you have a red letter Bible, you'll see that this is in red, which means that Jesus is speaking, relating this to us. It was being taken down and given to us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In verse 23, it says, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." Now, part of the problem with preaching without notes is that sometimes I get hung up on a verse, and there's so much here. Think about that for a minute. We have people in the world today, lots and lots, millions and millions of people that are religious, that are going around and saying that they're serving the same God as we Christians. Let me tell you something, friend, that is not true. And you know how I know that? Look at what Jesus said. "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." We're told in the Scripture to try the spirits. The way that you try the spirits is that any that come not professing Jesus Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead is a false spirit. You want to know how to tell if a religion is true or false? Simple test. Okay? What do they say about Jesus? Oh, well, they say they worship God, but that Jesus was just a good man. Yeah, they say He was a good man. Not good enough. Jesus was a good man, but Jesus was God in the flesh. You know, I hear people in different denominations say, isn't Jesus and Satan brothers? No. Jesus created. Satan is under His control. Satan is not Jesus' brother. It turns my stomach even to hear that. Because Jesus is so far above Satan, it's hard for us to understand. Listen to me. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Okay? And if you don't love Jesus, if you don't know it, you don't love God. And you can tell yourself whatever you want to, friend, but if you don't love Jesus, you don't love God. Amen. Verse 24, "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written, they hated me without cause." excuse me. You know, people, there's people that don't like me. I haven't figured that out yet because I'm such a likable fellow. There's some good comedians out here too, but that's okay because I'm not perfect, and I make mistakes, okay? But let me tell you, if you relate that over to Jesus, they hated Jesus with no cause. Think about Jesus. He came down here to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He loved everyone. I think of so many examples, but one of them is the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, that the Jews hated the Samaritans. Read the word. They hated them. They would go to great lengths to not even come in contact with them, but not Jesus. He loved them because they were sinners just like us. Why did anybody have reason to hate Jesus? They didn't. You might find reasons to not like me, but you can't legitimately find a reason not to love Jesus because He was love. He did everything. He never did anything wrong to anyone. Can't we see that everything that He did was because He loved us? Throughout His whole life, He did everything that He did for me so that I might live, so that I might have eternal life in the presence of God. He healed me. We have a long prayer request list. The Bible tells us that we have not because we ask not. It's important that we pray for those that are in need. I want you to know something this morning. God is still in the business of healing people. And yes, he will answer prayers and he will heal us from the afflictions of this life, the sicknesses, the illnesses that we have that modern medicine can't touch. God can still heal. But I want you to know something, friend. True healing in this life only comes by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're healed from the penalty of sin. And that's death. He left this earth so that we could have it better. He came to this earth so we could have it better. He endured the trials and the hardships, the temptations and the accusations and everything that he endured for us. And then when it became time for him to go, he left this earth to go and prepare a place for us. My mansion over there in glory. I don't know the address or the street name yet, but it's there. I'm looking forward to it. He did all that for us. But think about Jesus. Now he's getting ready to go and give his life on the cross and be taken up to be with God the Father again. And he's trying to prepare his disciples, his followers, for the time whenever he was going to leave. Think about that for a second. They had walked closely with him. They had seen him heal sick. They had seen him feed the multitude on just rations for a small boy for one day, one little lunch. He could have taken that donut. Y'all got pictures of me eating and fed the world. That's Jesus. That's what they saw. They knew him. They walked with him. And he's telling them, I have to go so that you can be healed. But fear not. In verse 26. But when the Comforter, oh, by the way, the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. Oh, by the way, that's God as well. Okay? When the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye, he's talking to the church here, friend. Listen, the Comforter will testify of Jesus, and ye, that's us, also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Listen, I know he's talking specifically to his disciples, but I also know that he's talking specifically to me, because when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, he moved in, took up residence in the form of the Holy Spirit. He lives in me. Where do you take Jesus when you leave here? What do you do with him throughout the week? There you go, isn't it? Ye shall bear witness because ye have been with me from the beginning. We bear witness this morning. I bear witness to you that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Well, preacher, how do you know that? You weren't there when he raised from the dead. No. But let me tell you, whenever I met Jesus as my personal Savior, I met him in spirit. I know he lives. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, you know he lives. The Apostle Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, changed his life. You know, I was young when I got saved, but it changed my life. But I've met people that have went through all kinds of hardships in this life, and drug and alcohol abuse, and just anything you want to imagine, that came to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let me tell you something. The best rehab program out there is a good dose of Jesus. Changes your life. from the inside out. And we bear witness of that. How do we bear witness? How do you act? Gene was talking earlier about singing peppy songs at the offering plate. I think we should go around with a smile on our face all the time. Yes, things happen. But let me tell you something, friend. That frown shouldn't last very long because we are a child of the King if we know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. If the only hope I have in this life is what I'm living right now, I don't have much hope. But because of what Jesus did, I have hope of a better tomorrow. If you look at my checkbook, you'll see I don't have money, but listen, I'm rich. You know why? Because I have Jesus. Oh, and by the way, because I have you. It makes me rich. We bear witness. We bear witness when we stand firm on the truth from God's Word. Jesus didn't have to do what he did. He could have went home anytime he wanted to. He could have said, God, Father, I've decided that this old world ain't worth saving. I'm coming home. And he could have went back home, but he didn't. He chose to stay. He chose to hang on that cross. He chose to give his life for us. He did that because he loves us. The Bible tells us in the Scripture, what greater love does a man have than to lay down his life for his friend? That's what Jesus did. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He gave his life for you. As Jesus prepared to leave this earth and go back to the Father, he leaves us with hope. And that's what Easter means to me. And we're going to talk about it as we get closer to Easter Sunday. But Easter means to me that we have hope. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. He has a glorified body. And one of these days, I'm going to get one just like him. And I'm going to be able to sing. And I'm going to be able to talk plain. And the words won't get tangled up between my brain and my mouth. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Verse 5, John chapter 16, verse 5. It says, but now I go to my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither goest thou? Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Can you imagine the sorrow that they had? When he told them that he had to go and be with God, he was going to have to leave them. They didn't fully understand it, but in their mind, they could see Jesus Christ, the one that they had walked with and talked with, leaving them. It sorrowed them. Can you imagine the mindset that they had? Look at verse 7, though. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient. In other words, it's for your greater good. And the quicker that I go, the better off it is for you. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Think about that. Would you have loved to live in the time of Jesus? And being over there where he walked and could hear him talk, I want you to know something, friend. We have it so much better than they had it. They had to go where he was at. He was limited in his physical body, not in his spiritualness, but in his body. He could only be at one place at one time. And when he went back to be with God, and he sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, down here, let me tell you something, friend. The Holy Spirit lives here and at Oak Hill. And where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst. This is not the only good Bible preaching church left on the face of the earth, and the Holy Spirit can be at all of them at the same time. And thank you, God, for what you've done for us. Listen, friend, I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what's going on in your life. But if we only focus on the things that we encounter in the physical realm of this world today, we are going to be miserable people. Just open your eyes and look. But open your heart now and look. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? What can this world do to you? We say it often. I love it. All this world can do for you, if you know Jesus, is send you to heaven quicker. Can't take your salvation. Can't take your hope. Can't take your joy whenever you focus on Jesus. No matter what situation you're in, maybe your checkbook reads zero. Still rich if you know Jesus. You know why I know this? Because that's the way mine reads. And I'm still good because Jesus loves me. Easter. May we celebrate Easter every day. As we look at all the beautiful flowers that we got coming up, and as we search for the proper dress to wear and maybe which tie we're going to wear on Easter Sunday morning, remember why we celebrate Easter. We celebrate Easter because we serve a risen Savior, the one that promised to come back and get us. And one of these days, you know, Jesus is going to come back and we're going to hear that trump and we're going to be caught up in the air, and so shall we ever be with Him. I'm going to get to see those of my loved ones that went on before me. You know, I've asked God many years ago to allow me to live long enough till I could see my children saved and baptized, and He blessed me with that experience. I ask God now that He lets me be just a little part of teaching my grandkids about Jesus, because I want them to be there with me as well. But I ask God to bless me with open doors that I might be able to share Jesus Christ with someone I don't even know, because like Jesus, I want to spend eternity with them as well. Life is good when you serve Jesus, no matter your situation. Listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, this life can never bring you fulfillment. This life can never bring you true joy and peace. Until you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're just battling the cares and the trials of this earth by yourself. Well, let me introduce you to my friend Jesus, who's able. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior already, whatever's on your heart, all you have to do is give it to Him. You know, I've preached sermons about this in the past, but you can come down here to the altar. You can kneel by your bed. You can do it in your car on the way home. And you can accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, anywhere you're at. And you can give Him your burdens anywhere you're at. But be careful that when you give Him your burdens, you don't pick it back up and take it with you when you leave. You come down to the altar and you give Him your burdens, leave it here. He's got it. No need for you to take it back with you. I believe that God has a purpose for each and every one of us that are here this morning. Oak Hill is still here today because God is not finished with it. I believe that God still has a purpose for me. And when He's done with me, He's going to take me home. And whenever that is, I'm good with it. I pray you are as well. And give Him your burdens. Give him your joy. Give him your happiness. Share your life with your friend that gave his life for you. Salvation is just the first step in that journey. I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I'll ask you to stand with me if you would for a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you at this time, Lord, thankful. Oh, so thankful for what Jesus did for us, what you've done for us by sending your son. Thank you for loving me, even though I don't deserve it. Thank you for this church, Lord, and what she stands for. Help us that we would always be found preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead. Lord, help us that we would always be found doing your will. I pray, Lord, for the lost roundabout. I just pray, Lord, that you would soften their hearts, that when they hear the word or when they see us, that they would come to know there's a reality in serving the true and living Savior. Lord, I pray your will in each and every life here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Page number 185.
I believe from the depths of my soul that God is still in the business of calling people for his purpose. I'm thankful for Brother Bray that's going to be ordained next week, and for God calling him and God calling other people to the service and them accepting. I don't know what God's calling you to, but from past experience, I know you can figure it out pretty quickly if you'll try. Well, preacher, I'm too old. No, you're not. I wasn't. Thought I was. God had other plans. You see, all we're responsible for is accepting. So if God's calling you maybe to come join us here, maybe he's calling you to preach, or maybe he's calling you for something else. Maybe, whatever. I want you to know that no matter what he's calling you to, if you will give it to him, you can do it. He will never ask you to do anything he don't give you the power to do. Only you and God knows where you're at. I believe God has a purpose in your life. We'll sing another verse. Listen to the calling. Still small voice.